one body bag or two?
Hello, hello, and welcome, everyone. It is Tea Time Horror Stories, or Tea Time Horrors, whichever tickles your fancy. You have your host, me, Sam, and your co-host,
Joe.
And we're here for another flipping episode.
Yes, and Henry's back for more food.
Oh, Henry's back?
Yes, he is back.
Henry, don't you dare. For those, you guys aren't good to know, we have a rooster that loves to come into our room.
Take a picture. He's still there.
Take a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah.
Some king of the beast. Did you see Bean? Oh. Bean was just like, am I going to get you? And Henry is like, the fuck you doing?
All right. So yeah, as we were mentioning, we have a rooster that loves. So at our place that Joe and I have made, we have a dog door that we leave open because we have far too many cats. And the cats the dog door is too heavy for the cats to push open. So we leave it open by just tying a little rope around it and to keep it open. But the rooster has gotten smart knowing that there's cat food inside. So when we're not around or not looking, Henry wanders inside and sometimes takes the food and we have to chase him out. Even when I'm here, I'm sitting here watching TV, doing homework, whatever it is. And next, you know, you just hear the click clack of his fucking little feet.
Bean's going to get beat up in a minute.
Oh, no.
She starts stalking it and then Henry turns around.
Anyways, yeah, he's a nuisance. He fucking annoys me. But anyways, yeah. So welcome. This will be episode 4 of our new season.
3.
4.
JonBenet, the one we did last week, and then this one.
It's 3. 3, you are right. Hey, I'm episode good at numbers. 3. I'm not getting a degree in math, so whatever.
Well, you did just pass your math class.
I somehow passed math statistics. And I was told, I felt like I was lied to by my advisor, that he told me math statistics is the easiest one to take. Oh my God. I'm going to reiterate for the 100th time, I can't do math. And math really sucks, but I managed to pass that class with a B+. And to me, that's passing. Anyways.
Technically, a D minus is passing.
C is actually passing. They don't accept D minuses anymore. It's either C or an F.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I had to pass it and I managed to pass it with a B+, and I'm okay with that. I don't have to be an A+ student, A-star student. Now my new term started on Monday for us. That would be March. What was this last Monday? March 6th is when I start my new term. So when you guys hear this, actually, I would be very much a couple weeks into my term. So yeah, I went back to school. I'm going to school and I'm getting a double degree in criminology and also, or not criminology, well, criminal justice with a focus in criminology and forensics, and an English degree with a focus in creative writing. So it's my turn to go back to school. That being said, this week has been pretty fucking hectic. Like, y'all don't even know.
And it's hump day. We're recording this on hump day.
On a Wednesday, yes. I don't know. This week has just been hectic. Last episode, you guys heard that I was constantly checking my email and looking and waiting for a document to come in because I am trying to apply to be in as a 911 dispatcher. Hey, me. And their background and their paperwork and everything you have to fill out is hardcore. It's backgrounds from when you were a baby to present, any car accidents, references, all jobs that you've ever worked, everything. It's just, they give you a packet that's like 40 pages long and you have to fill everything down to a T. And then afterwards, you also have to do a medical physical exam and you have to do a polygraph exam and just a bunch of other exams. And then you have to go to police academy for 4 to 6 weeks to learn all the lingo and everything in between. So it's a lot.
It's a lot, to say the least.
Yeah. So I've been running around getting my high school transcripts, getting all the colleges that I've been to. It's just been crazy. And I managed today to finish it all. So later on tonight, I will send it in and
then
work on homework because I started my new term and I'm already falling behind and I hate falling behind. Okay. That being said, that was our life so far. How about anything on your end, Joe? Because I've been just talking shit on my end.
Work. and more work and catching up on sleep, kind of by going to bed an hour early, just because Saturday was D&D night and we were up until 1:30, yeah. And I had work at 3 o'clock in the morning, so that was fun. So yeah, my body's still catching up on that sleep, kind of, sort of.
I don't know what happened, but the cleaning bug hit Joe yesterday hardcore, and he just started going to town on our very, very messy room. And he did a really good job. He finished the dishes. He started the laundry. We're having problems with our washing machine. Fucking washing machine. And it's just life, you know? Like
adulting. Just adulting in general.
Yeah, and I just feel like when we do the podcast,
you fall behind on 1 week and you realize that why is there like 2 months worth of shit to do?
I know. Like, and to me, I don't know about you, Joe, but to me, whenever I do the podcasts and we're just able to vent a little bit before we actually get started, it's a bit therapeutic. I'm sorry if you don't want to hear or listen to our our life and us talking, and you just want to get down to the nitty gritty. Then
it's about relatability. I'm pretty sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Right. So that's the general family news. How are things going with your comic?
They're going. I think I might have everything done, or at least the cover page done by Friday. So hooray there. And then I've already got kind of like a layout of what I'm going to do for my first episode.
So yeah, by the time this episode comes out, Joe will at least have one episode out.
Hopefully.
So hopefully. But hopefully he will. If he does, then just go to Webtoon or Tapas and check out his comic. Again, he's going with Party Fails
at the moment. We'll update people on that,
right? We'll keep updating on it. We don't really have a username for him just yet, but just look for Party Fails, and again, we'll update you when all that comes, so that way you guys can find him and follow him and support him just as much as you are supporting us. And then also, I'm also just going to do this shout out because he's like my bestie. Don't forget to go check out Shannon's podcast, and his podcast is Shiitake Podcast. They do reviews on anime and just general talking about that kind of stuff. So if that's something that you're interested in, they're on all major podcast channels out there too. And again, it's called Shiitake Podcast.
Like the mushroom.
All right. That being said, wow, that was a long intro. I have been staring at my drink that I went and picked up from the store or from a cafe. It's called Crema Cafe. And I swear, every single time we tell you guys where we're getting our drinks from, we're like slowly pinpointing our location to where you guys can find us.
Well, it's a pretty broad area. I mean, it's kind of...
Well, I'm sure they know we live in California.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
But they probably don't actually know, like, what part of California. We're NorCal, so we're up in Northern California.
Yeah, actually, we're kind of... Mid. Mid, but if you're speaking about the general area we're out, we're more of the southern of the collective, kind of.
No, we're NorCal. Southern is L.A.
I know, southern, that's L.A., but I'm talking about the Bay Area.
Oh, well, there you go. You just let everyone know. We live in the Bay Area, but Bay Area is big. Anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Bay Area is big. So our Bay Area pickup was La Creme, right? La Creme is at the cafe?
Crema Cafe,
yeah. Crema Cafe. And I went and picked up Joe's drink. Joe, tell us, what drink did I get you?
If I remember correctly, I think it was a Mudslide, which is an Irish cream with mocha and 2 shots, I think you said.
Yeah, only 2. I wasn't sure. They asked me if you wanted 1, 2, or 3, and I was like, 2 in the middle? I should have gotten the 3.
Yeah, you should have gotten the 3. But it's fine. The 2 will be fine.
I figured. Like, part of me was like, Sam, get the 3. And then part of me was just like, but what if I want to try it? If I want to try it, I don't want it to be heavily coffee.
Why not?
Because I don't. Why not? I'm slowly getting into liking coffee. Let's not drop me in the deep end, okay? I don't swim very well, but my doggy paddle's kind of crap. I did pass swimming in high school. I don't know how, but I did. So taste it, Joe. Tell us, how is it? I know it's not as hot as you would like it.
It kind of just tastes like a Starbucks drink, honestly.
What?
Like, it reminds me of a caramel macchiato.
I could drink this.
Yeah, but
This is not strong enough for you.
I got a lot of the espresso aftertaste.
Oh, there's the after. Yeah. There's the after of the coffee.
It kind of just lingers there on the tongue.
I mean, it's okay. I just feel
it's still good. I do kind of wish it was hot, but I'm actually kind of tempted to just throw it on ice.
I would probably be good on ice for a little bit. But now I decided not to get a coffee, but I do have coffee. So I grabbed something new. Sam is trying something new.
Was it their cider?
No, it is their rose lemonade.
That's risky.
It's called rose something lemonade. That's but risky. I asked them because I either wanted to get the mojito one, the berry mojito lemonade.
Like the mint julep from Disneyland.
Oh, my God. But I told, we're going to Disney next week, hopefully, and I'm going to get a mint julep. But, and beignets and a bunch of other food because it's the Vine and Food Festival. And we're going to try some food. But anyways, that's beyond the point. You guys, we would have already gone and come back by the time you guys hear this episode. But yeah, I got, so I asked the guy, I was like, I want something that's not sweet. I want something that's more light. And he's like, oh, well, the berry one is very citrusy and it is sweet in my opinion. Let's try the rose one. So I was like, let's try the rose one. So based off what the barista said, I got the rose one.
Okay. The problem with rose is that they usually use an extract and it's too overpowering for everything else. So hopefully that's not the case.
I haven't tried it. I've been staring at it. So I'm going to try it. Maybe next time I'll get the berry one. But just in case if I don't like the drink, I have my coffee that I usually make. It's the Javi brand coffee. Hey, hint, hint, if you want to sponsor us. But it's the Javi one, which is literally 8 ounces of milk. I put a little bit of sweetened condensed milk in there, about maybe like half a tablespoon of sweetened condensed milk.
Mm.
And then a small little splash of vanilla creamer.
You mean, are you sure it's more than half a tablespoon?
Or it's teaspoon? About a tablespoon, half okay. a tablespoon.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You measure?
No.
Okay, because I'm pretty sure you put a little bit more than
whatever. Okay, it still needs to get rid of some of that little coffee flavor. So I put a little bit in there. So I make this coffee. It's something I've been making for like a couple of weeks now, and it's actually, I don't know, maybe I like coffee now. But let me try this lemonade.
Can't be wishy-washy on the topic, Sam. You either like coffee or you don't.
You will love that.
It's the rose, isn't it?
I don't mind the rose.
Really?
Just try it.
I feel like I'm drinking perfume.
It just tastes like dirty water to me. Like, there's no...
It's so overpowering that I can't sweet even in that. Taste the tea. That's how bad
I need
is.
Sweet in that. Like, I need some sugar in that.
Mm.
I need sugar in that.
Mm. I don't know about that. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of doesn't seem like it's even a rose tea. It just tastes like they put... I don't even taste lemon in it. It's supposed to be a rose lemonade?
It's supposed to be a lemonade. A rose lemonade. I expected some sort of... I feel like I have to go get lemon slices and squeeze some lemon in there.
Honestly, if you were to do that, I think it would up it a little bit more. And then maybe like, I'm going to agree with you on this one, but maybe even a tablespoon of sugar won't do so bad.
Joe says to put sugar. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Oh my God. Anyways.
But that's because I taste like I'm drinking nothing but perfume.
Do we have sugar?
We have sugar. Can you? What else do you think I bake with?
Can we put some sugar in there?
Yeah, we can put some sugar on it, but I'm kind of blocked in here.
Oh, man.
Well, the barista was right. It isn't sweet, period, but it's kind of hard to drink when it kind of tastes like perfume, rose perfume, like poopery.
Tastes like dirty water.
There's still a lot of grains on the bottom, so you're getting nothing but sugar there.
That's better.
Just sugar water, huh?
That's a lot better. I just added like maybe a tablespoon or two.
Oh, that is way more than a tablespoon.
I said a tablespoon or two.
One of the clumps there had to have been a little bit more than a tablespoon. I saw like at least two going.
Whatever.
And the,
that's better. After adding a little bit more sugar to that, I actually kind of enjoy that drink now. Okay. Now.
Tiger jumped when he said, okay.
All right. As you guys might know, we have a lot of cats. And what I mean by we have a lot of cats, it's a colony. It's a major colony. We have a minimum of 8 house cats.
That's debatable.
Hermione, Junior, Gino, Josie.
Gino's more of an outdoor cat now.
He's still my house cat because I take care of him. Gino, and he's been in here a lot lately.
Well, it's been raining outside.
Well, Gino, Josie.
Okay.
Then there is...
Both outside cats, but okay.
We still have Oliver that comes every so often, my poor beaten up cat. He gets into too many fights. And then
I don't want to say it, but he probably gets picked on.
He probably does. And then we also have Magenta and Riff Raff, and we have Columbia as well. And now we have Little Bean.
Props to whoever can get that reference.
I'm pretty sure they did. Well, Little Bean.
Some people probably, but maybe not the entire audience.
Well, I mean, we thought about calling Bean Janet, so.
Ugh, we would need a Brad, though, too, but Bean's just Bean.
Bean is Bean. We call her Bean because she's a jumping
honestly,
frijole.
Honestly, we should have just called Bean Frankie.
Yeah, that could have worked. But anyways, so yeah, we just have a lot of cats. We also have three dogs. So now let's finally jump into it. And let me get my drink ready. This week is the week of true crime. We are actually covering, or I should say, am covering something that is a new topic that we haven't touched before.
You see, we've done kidnapping, we've done disappearances, murder. What else is there? Robbery?
I don't think I've done a robbery yet.
Like a bank robbery?
No, we haven't done that yet. But so.
You're going to have to.
I'm going to. It's on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what we're doing today?
What are we doing today?
We are covering a family aside.
Oh, okay.
The elimination of a family.
Yep.
Yep. So it's the first one that we're covering. There are several. Actually, there's a lot of them out there. And this one, unfortunately, is short. You guys will see. But it is a bit short. Have you ever heard the name Bruce Blackman?
It sounds familiar, but for some reason it's not. I'm having trouble with. Is this the one who took his daughters to the silo and buried the wife and the girls there?
No. Oh, yeah, that was technically a family side.
Yeah.
So, we have covered a family side, but no, it's not that one.
Oh, that's right. You did cover that one already.
Yes, I did.
Heck. Okay. Yes. No, then it doesn't really ring any bells.
Alrighty. Well, Bruce.
Like the light?
No. Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce Blackman takes place in British Columbia.
This is our fish's friends.
Really?
What? You've been saying you've been watching a lot of Disney lately.
I'm not just watching Disney, but I'm like.
Is that why he was in that support group? Bruce killed his family in the movie.
Wow, Joe. Wow. He went there. Thank you, Joe. So, Bruce Blackman. This took place in British Columbia. I don't know why I said it that way.
British Columbia?
Yeah. You know where that's at, right?
I'm not very good.
Geology, Joe.
Geology or geography?
Geography. You're right.
Okay, I get where you're coming from, but geography isn't my strong point. You can tell me this place is at this place, and I'll be like, is that east, west, south, or north? I don't know.
You can't even tell what east, south, west, north is.
Where is east and west from here? East is, I'm pointing east towards the hills, and I'm pointing west towards the ocean. TV.
Where is north and south?
North and south.
Mostly correct, yes. So, okay, you kind of have that down.
General.
Anyways, this is taking place in Canada.
British Columbia and Canada. That makes total sense now.
Yeah, so this took place in 1983. So.
83.
Yeah, 1983. The case of Bruce Blackman, a 22-year-old in British Columbia, Canada, is a tragic example of how mental illness can be involved in cases of family asides. Police imposed 6 charges of first-degree murder on Tuesday, January 18th, 1983, against a 22-year-old man in connections with the death of 6 members of his family. Earlier in that day, Blackman drove to his parents' split-level home where he shot both his parents, Richard Blackman, 50, his wife, Irene Catherine, 49, and his younger brother, Richard Joseph Blackman, 16, with a .22 caliber rifle. Blackman then called his older sisters, Roberta Lynn Davies, 28, and Karen Dell Rhodes, 25, who at the time did not live with the family, who then came to the house and then were fatally shot, as well as Blackman's brother-in-law, John Alwith Davies, 39, when they arrived.
Davies. I I don't, for some reason, I'm getting like Amity Horror vibes with this.
It's not.
It's not.
No, but that is one case that I will cover. That will probably be a two-parter for us, where you cover the paranormal side of it and I can cover the history murder side of that.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
That's something we can work on, I think.
Yeah, Amity House.
Yeah, Amityville Horror. That is an interesting case.
Yes, it really is. But then again,
the Warrens got involved in that.
Yeah, I was just about to say, anything that the Warrens kind of like put their hands on kind of blew up and got big, basically.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys don't know who Ed or Lorraine Warren, they were renowned paranormal kind of investigators,
demonologist kind of.
Yeah, he was a demonologist. He was a demonologist. Yeah. So, anyways, okay. Another family member, Barry, the twin brother of the accused, was not near or around the household at the time of the killing. So he's the only surviving family member.
Wait, who was that? The
twin brother of the accused.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
So,
could you imagine like being the twin brother walking down the street and everybody being like,
"You're the killer!"
Yeah, it's just like being tackled by a police officer.
I didn't look up if they were identical.
That's true.
I didn't find out if they were identical. I didn't even bother thinking of that, actually, now that you've mentioned it. So I don't know if they were his identical or not, but he was the twin brother. Actually, he was on military leave or something of that sort.
I was about to say, did he just snap because there could only be one, or?
No, we'll get into it. But his mental issue, or his mentality, not just his mentality, but the mental illnesses that he has or had, or I should say has, played a role in this. So it's going to be one of those mind blowing moments when you hear more about this, because it kind of blew my mind just a little bit, just a wee bit. All right. There were reports that some of the victims had been bludgeoned and some shot, but Inspector Robert Bell refused to comment on the cause of death pending an autopsy to be performed. A witness saw one of the victims trying desperately to flee a gunman in the pre-dawn darkness. Neighbor Ed Fieldhood was awakened by gunshots and alerted police. He heard cries for help and saw an armed man chase one of the victims around the house and order him back into the brightly lit house. The victim, three males, three females, were shot at 5:30 a.m.
Shot or hosed?
Shot. What?
It's crude humor. In Canada, it's like they have that term called we were just hosed, kind of.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, interesting. The witness, who lived across the street from the shooting scene, said he was awakened by the sound of several gunshots and saw a couple of guys running around the lawn and looked like somebody was chasing somebody. He heard a couple of shouts for help. The guy came back, one leading the other, and the one guy fell down on his knees in the garage. The other guy told him to go back into the house. I opened the window, and by the time one guy came back and grabbed something off of the bench in the garage and walked back into the house. Sorry, that was a direct quote.
Is it bad that I'm like thinking of that scene from Step Brothers where they're fighting in the front yard and they're swinging bikes and the mom's like standing on the sidewalk spraying them with the hose? I mean, I'm kind of getting that kind of vibe right now.
It could be. But yeah, that was a direct quote. Sorry, it's not that my English is bad or anything, but that was a direct quote. Hi, you're my handsome boy. You want to sit on my lap, but I'm in the middle of something right now.
No, you're not. Now you're in the middle of something. There you go. Yes, that's...
Yeah, there's a mic right there. You can't exactly... He's going to be my assistant. And if you hear purring, that's just because my cat literally just sat on my lap and is just inches away from my mic. He's very demanding. He's my handsome riffraff. Okay. So the witness said all the lights were on in the house, all the bedrooms in the basement, and the garage door was open. There was also a strange car not normally seen at the house and not seen on the house, was on the block and was parked in the driveway. Bruce Blackman was arrested by police as he walked down a hill away from the mass murder scene. Police found a .22 caliber rifle near the home. It was reported that the bodies were located throughout the house, end quote. Bruce Blackman was from Port something, British Columbia, Canada.
Do you want me to take a whack at it? Is British Columbia, is that kind of like more of like the French Canada type of location?
I think so.
It's probably got some French accents to it.
Port Coquitlam?
Nope. Yeah. Don't know.
Yep. Port Coquitlam, British Columbia, Canada. He is a He is a paranoid schizophrenic who suffered with multiple delusions in which he was, in which the quote white woman would tell him that the Bible was directly written from him, as well inform him that eating his own semen would help prevent the end of the world. Let me read that again.
No, please don't. I'm pretty sure they got it the first time, Sam.
He is a paranoid schizophrenic who suffered from multiple delusions in which the white woman would tell him that the Bible was directly written from him, as well as informing him that eating his own semen would prevent the end of the world. His roommates would actually catch him
jerking it and eating it.
Yes. And he actually offered his semen to his roommates saying that it would prevent the end of the world. Apparently he thought his semen was gold.
Paranoid schizophrenia is not pretty.
No, not well, not if it's not taken care of.
But I mean, just in general, it like that goes without saying that that kind of mental illness or disorder,
it's
whatever
scary.
You want to call
Let's
it.
Just it's, put it that way.
I've heard of people like literally seeing Satan sit in the backseat of their car while they're driving, and it takes a lot of like therapy and medication for them to be like, that shit's not real.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to take care of. It's a whole different avenue. So yeah. Bruce Blackman was the son of Richard or Blackie Blackman, 50.
That's creative.
50 at the time of his death. He was an engineer who worked on Vancouver's fireboat, a Canadian naval Navy veteran. He was a former chief engineer with the BC Highways Department and a former employee of Pacific Towing Services. The kind of man you depended on to get the job done, said his coworkers. Bruce's mother, Irene Blackman, 49, worked as a pattern clerk with the Providence newspaper. She played tennis and badminton when hiking, loved to garden, and acted as the den mother for her son Ricky's hockey team.
I'm sorry, repeat that? She acted as the den mother?
Den mother.
Yeah. Okay, so basically the team mom.
Yeah, basically, okay. Yeah. So she was really nice. Everyone loved her. She was super friendly, super like the best mom you could probably get.
Yeah.
Bruce Blackman also had a younger brother, Ricky Jr., 16. He was a student at Sir Franklin Banting Junior Secondary. He was the only one of the children who still lived at home. He also had two older sisters, Roberta Lynn Davies, 28, the eldest Blackman's daughter, who the previous summer had married John Davies, 39, a Vancouver record company employee who had a younger child from a previous marriage, Karen Dale Rhodes, 25. Another marriage. Karen Dale Rhodes, 25, another daughter, the second oldest, who had recently separated from her husband, Curtis Rhodes. So she was a new divorcee, well, soon to be new divorcee. Well,
she was pretty young.
Yes, 25.
Yeah,
I mean, back in the day, getting married in the 1980s, if you weren't married by the time you were 25, something was wrong with
you. Yeah, I guess that's kind of true.
So, I mean,
I keep forgetting in the timeline.
Exactly. This was the 1980s. My mom and my dad got married. My mom got married the moment she got out of high school. Like, yeah, 18 years old, married, had her first kid. My dad's 6 years older than her. He was in his 20s. So, right. You guys do the math on that.
Yeah.
during the time, Bruce was being seen by Vancouver's psychiatrist, Dr. Harvey Brin, who was in the process of committing Blackman in December. But because the younger man had not been considered an immediate danger to himself or others, Dr. Harvey Brin was waiting on a second doctor's signature necessary for his committal.
Why wait? Honestly, just like...
He wanted to commit him, but you need a second doctor to sign off on it before he can go in.
I guess that kind of makes sense, but
because he wasn't deemed a threat to himself or anyone else at the time, they couldn't emergency put him in.
Oh, that sucks.
So he was in the process, but just the process wasn't fast enough.
I mean, his family knew that he had this issue, right? Like, was anybody appointed to, like, kind of keep tabs on him to make sure he was doing all right? Or...
Yes and no. Like, his family, he wasn't living at home. He was living with a roommate. And he wasn't living at the house at the time. So his family knew something wasn't quite right. Like, his head wasn't quite all there. But... he was already seeing psychiatric help. He was already seeing help. But because, again, he wasn't deemed a threat. Because he had no, like, even though he was being delusional and he thought he was Jesus or his semen was, like, all that in a bag of chips. It's just, they didn't think that would escalate to him going home and killing everyone that was there. They didn't see that happening. Like, they didn't think he was that much of a threat, or they didn't think he was that much of a danger to people because he never got violent. He just was delusional, just not violent. So I can kind of see where the doctor is on not committing him right away, mm-hmm. but he was literally one signature away from getting him committed. They had planned on committing him probably in the next week. So yeah, like, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
So anyways, yeah. The night before the killing, the family met at the house to discuss urgent family matters. By 4 a.m., things had gotten terribly wrong. Dr. Harvey Brin had answered a distraught phone call from Roberta Davies, at 4:49 a.m., begging him to commit her brother Bruce to an institution. She told him that her brother was armed with a knife. The doctor then instructed her to call the police. Unfortunately, she never got to call the police because he killed her during that time.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
That. That's really upsetting because if you, regardless of their family or not, if you see somebody walking around with a knife with, like, seemingly intent, my first reaction would to be call the police.
Right. Instead of calling the doctor, why don't you call the police instead?
Yeah.
But
honestly,
who knows what they were thinking at the time? I mean, that is her brother. That is her younger brother. She probably never thought to that time that he was going to use that knife on them, maybe himself. But they never thought that would happen. They never thought that he was going to.
Yeah, that does make sense. I don't know. I guess I'm just, I mean, like,
if I were to put it in mind. Like, I'm sorry, baby. If I were to put it in my perspective, if it was me and my family, I would do everything I could to help my brother or I only have brothers. I would do everything I can to help my brother instead of calling police on him because you don't know what police. I mean, come on. How many things have you heard in the news about police coming guns a-blazing and just shooting
true.
Now and asking questions later? Mm-hmm. We are a minority. We are Mexican and people of color, and they look at us as if we are a threat. And they, like I said, if you call them, because as someone who's training to be a 911 dispatcher, if you call us and tell us, hey, we have my brother is here with a knife threatening, they're gonna come with their guns out, and they will probably ask questions later after the event has taken place. And so she was probably trying to skip that. And thinking, my brother has a knife, but he's not going to use it on us. He's not going to hurt us. And you don't think your own family member is going to hurt you. I mean, you don't think that's ever going to happen, right?
Yeah, I guess you are right, because especially if he didn't have a history or a prior history.
Right. He wasn't a violent person. He just had delusions of grandeur and just didn't understand what was right or wrong. And he never once showed that he was violent until that night.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if he had past history or other history of him being violent and whatnot, they probably would have called 911 before. So it's out there. So many would state that Bruce Blackman had always been a friendly, outgoing person who played soccer and frisbee with his friends. He hunted and worked on cars in his spare time. But in the months before the killing, Brin said that Blackman changed from a carefree young man to a paranoid schizophrenic. According to court testimony, Blackman was an intense stoner as he would eat and smoke marijuana often. A roommate of Blackman, Curtis Rhodes, testified that Blackman had become obsessed with religion and wore a headband he called the Crown of Thorns. In the weeks leading to the killings, his roommate reportedly noticed strange behavior from Blackman, wherein he would claim to be getting messages from the Bible and believe the world was going to end. On November 4th, 1983, Blackman was found not guilty on 6 counts of first-degree murder by reason of insanity.
Yeah, I kind of figured that was going to happen.
Yes. Blackman was sentenced to a mental institution in which he was released via conditional discharge in 1995 at the age of 33. He served only 11 years. He has since changed his name multiple times. It is unclear on which alias he now goes by It is unconfirmed he is thought to be living somewhere in British Columbia. Researchers have found on any link between borderline personality disorder and family asides, and while some evidence was found that this could conclude a casual link, it is such a rare crime and it is difficult to draw any solid conclusion as to the role of such mental disorders with this crime. Yep. So after he only served 11 years after killing 6 people, and he played the insanity role and he got it. And we don't know what he's doing now, whether he's recommitted crimes or if his schizophrenia is under control. Obviously, it has to be because he hasn't made a peep since.
But then why would he need to change his name multiple times?
Well, if you have to, because people are probably after him demanding justice.
Interviews and stuff.
Not just interview, but justice. There's probably people out there who want him dead or want to hurt him or something like that because of what he did. I mean, this whole insanity plea is very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people, even though someone can claim reason of insanity and get away with murdering 6 people and still be, and then be let free, because you can't, by law, well, here in the United States, it's, I don't know how it is in Canada, but here in the United States, if you are deemed mentally unfit, you can't be charged with, like, to be put to death, or you can't really be charged. If you're considered insane, you will almost get scot-free. So it's, again, it's a very controversial topic, super controversial, but it is actually quite common. This is not the only case that this has happened to.
I'm pretty sure it hasn't.
In just British Columbia itself, there was 18 other people that this has happened to. 19, actually. Yeah, there are at least 19 people out there who've gotten away with killing their family, or a lot of people claimed insanity and they got away with it. And you don't know, are they really insane? Are their mental illnesses that bad that it pushed them over? Like, you don't know. The only one who knows are the professionals and the people and the jury, because it's the jury that found him not guilty.
Yeah.
So, and the case itself, I looked on the case. I tried to find court cases. I was able to find a couple things, but nothing that really, like, I could put in the podcast that I thought was necessary. So
was there like a definitive reason as to why he decided to do that to the entire family?
He never spoke to the media. The only person that would know anything would be the psychologist, and the psychologist has patient privilege.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's not talking.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of understandable. In one way, I can see him doing it because he thought that the world was going to end. So he
wanted a mercy killing, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it still doesn't justify what he did or anything.
Of course not, no. But I kind of felt it was a bit of a slap on the wrist.
A little bit less than that. I guess, yeah, he did serve some time, but still, it's kind of like,
I get his mental capacity wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
but something had to have happened. Mm-hmm. Something, like, that's 6 people right there, and one of them was a 16-year-old. He was a minor, and that was his older brother. That's mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's another topic on a whole nother day. But that was Bruce Blackman,
mm-hmm.
one of the second family side I've ever covered. So what did you think?
I thought it was interesting. It's definitely something that is worth thinking about as far as where our criminal system is, or our
judicial
system is.
I mean, this was in Canada, I can't speak for how it is in Canada. I've never been, but I do want to go. Mm-hmm. But everyone's justice system is run differently. Here in the United States, things are...
That's understandable, but I mean, just as a whole, speaking just as the U.S. is on its own, it's kind of backwards in that you can kill somebody and do 25 years if found guilty, where if you're found with like hardcore drugs, you could be
sentenced to
sentenced to life. And it's just like,
it's a little backwards thinking there. If you murder someone, you can get out, versus if you do drugs or had drugs, a bunch of drugs on you, your life in jail. Mm-hmm. It should there definitely needs to be a overhaul of the justice system, in my opinion.
Yeah, that, and then it's the whole, it's kind of like a whole different topic is as well too, but like how some corrupt people in the jury system and stuff like that, it's like some people are given less sentences because they come from like a well-established family, or because they're able to afford a very expensive lawyer or something. And it's just like, well, I can get your sentence reduced by X amount because you come from a renowned family, and we can get you off with a slap in the wrist because your parents have money to do that.
Right.
So it's just like,
celebrities getting away with a bunch of stuff too, as well. And people, again, as I touched on this a little earlier, people of color are always judged more harsh than other people that aren't. So it's a whole backward.
Actually, a study, I can't remember who did it, but they're running a kind of like a, I don't want to say, maybe it was a test, but they're kind of like presenting people from the public, and they're giving them pseudo case files of what said person did, and depending on how they looked, like if they are more attractive, would that mean that they
would get
a lesser sentence, or if somebody looked like they were like a minority, would they get a longer sentence? And they were trying to gather information on whether or not this was an actual thing. And they were able to find that most of the people from the general public would deem people who came from better established families, who had better looks and this and that, looked more presentable in a jury setting,
right,
were given lesser sentences, as opposed to people who are the exact opposite, where right, they're like, they should be punished to the fullest extent. It's just like, but they literally didn't do...
Or they did the exact same crime as A did, and B just looks different, and they're getting a harsher punishment than what A did.
Yeah, and again, I can't really remember what I was watching where they were doing that study, but it might have been the Mythbusters, but at the same time, I don't think it was.
But yeah, that was Bruce Blackman. That was probably... That was our second family aside that we've ever covered. I know it was a short cover of it.
Shorty but goody.
Yeah, it was a shorty but goody. I couldn't find a whole lot more information on it as I wanted to, but stay tuned for our next episode. Our next episode, we are covering a paranormal, and so I hope you guys look forward to that. That's something Joe will cover something, and then I will cover something, and I hope you guys enjoy it. So for the time being, stay spooky, my friends.
And happy haunting.
Bye.